This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been sent by official
break just to get a little bit, process a little bit of this information, because this is amazing. This is definitely Ghostly Talk, and we're talking about out-of-body experiences today with Preston Dennett. Of course, he's written a book, Out-of-Body Exploration. No, Out-of-Body Explorer.
Exploring.
Okay. Out-of-body exploring. Preston Dennett again. Of course, he's linked up permanently. He's been linked up off our website since this is, because we've had the pleasure of having Preston on Ghostly Talk beforehand. But if you go to our homepage, www.ghostlytalk.com, he's in the guests section. So, but do you have let's throw out websites.
Yeah, I do have a website. It's my name, actually, www.ghostlytalk.com. PrestonDennett.com.
Very easy to remember. And you're on like the spine of several books in my collection, so of course easy to remember. So PrestonDennett.com, and of course it's linked up at our website, GhostlyTalk.com. So excellent. We were talking about getting out of body, going out of body, exploring past lives. We were talking about, just so much stuff. So I did need that little bit of a break to process some of it. And the interesting thing is you had said something about past lives, but you said normally when you ask to see if... And this is an interesting thing before we get to that. Anything you think of or any command, I think you had put it.
Right.
Manifests.
Right.
What's up with that?
Well, thought is the most powerful force in the universe, really. Everything that is created in the physical world is actually sort of crystallized thought. This becomes really clear once you start going out of body and you see how real your thoughts become when they manifest around you on the upper planes. This is the problem why most people aren't awake in their dreams, is because they assume they're already awake. It never occurs to people that they're out of body. The environment is so realistic. So you really want to start questioning throughout the day, am I out of body right now, or am I dreaming? But yeah, your thoughts manifest in absolute clarity. So if you shout out, I want to see a past life, your higher self will take you rushing down to that experience. Or if you want to, fulfill desire of any kind, have sex with someone, or have a feast of food, or you name it, actually. See your higher self. I've done that.
Wow.
It's all sorts of stuff you can do.
Okay, this is interesting because I've read widely on a lot of things, and one of my other favorite topics is Edgar Cayce. And one of the things he had said was that, thought manifests reality. I mean, that's obviously paraphrased. But I think his information, because he got all his information from the information, I think he was talking about even here, even in our reality plane. I think he was alluding to, now he didn't know it himself. I mean, this is, he was conveying the information, so he was used as a vessel in this case. But the information was saying that I think it was alluding to the fact that we could do some pretty amazing things with our thoughts if we knew how, such as psychokinesis or telepathy or any of these ESP kinds of things. That it is, I guess, technically possible. Although I don't know how. I'm very scientific based, even though I'm interested with all this stuff. So I just can't see myself like moving those atoms, and then commanding them to move across the room or whatever. But
well once you heard the saying, thoughts are things. Once you go out of body, you really learn that that's true. And going out of body somehow opens up you to have all sorts of precognitive events and telepathy and clairvoyance and all that stuff.
Have you ever, but like, it would be kind of, are those still spontaneous, I think is what I'm trying to ask. Are those still spontaneous, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to burn this pot of food, or, you know, like these spontaneous but mundane kinds of things, or interesting things like the lottery? I mean, where does it start, where does it stop, what kinds of things can you then predict? Or are they prophetic?
You know, a lot of them are just the most trivial things you could imagine, just like someone got a haircut or something like that. But some are really profound. Like I knew when my sister-in-law was going to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
That happens actually several times. And I also, like one time I was driving along to the bank and I started to get this vision of a man standing next to the teller machine. But he was like 7 feet, well not 7 feet tall, 6.5 feet tall, wearing leather and had lots of tattoos and piercings and was really menacing. He was swinging his hair around, really menacing in a weird way, right?
I think it was Sid Haig. And Sid Haig, who we just interviewed this, you know, this past month. No.
Well, it was weird, and as I approached the bank, this image just really filled my mind, and I turned around the corner, and there he was. And it was a total, you know, what do you call it, a precognition.
Mm-hmm. Because you had no way of knowing until you got there.
Right.
Wow.
And, you know, it started out for me, there's a lot of events like that which are sort of spontaneous, but you reach a point where you can start to control it a little bit. You can sort of look in and on the future, if you know what I mean. Just sort of calm your mind and events will come to you.
Because eventually, while you're exploring out of body, you learn that time is a myth.
Right. Exactly.
So it's
an amazing way to really open up your perception.
So as you break down those barriers and convince yourself that those barriers are broken down, your mind can think in nonlinear fashion, it sounds like.
Yeah, I guess so. It's bizarre. I don't know. I love the psychic stuff, though. It's really interesting.
Have you scared anybody with it?
No, but I've proven events. I mean, I've called up my sister-in-law, Christy. I'll call her when I have a vision that I just know is going to come true. And she's verified several for me. Like, one time, they found a frozen mammoth in the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
And I had dreamt that event before it occurred. And shipwrecks. I'm really interested in shipwrecks, so if anyone's boat sinks, sometimes I'll dream that event. And actually, just hundreds of events. It's amazing. Illnesses and unexpected visits, gifts. Just recently, my brother gave me a gift. And he's like, guess what it is? Because he knows I'm really into this, right? It was all wrapped up. And so I'm thinking, well, all I can get out of it is a caged animal, which doesn't make any sense to me. And he was really excited. He's like, open it. And so I opened it, and it was a statue, a bronze statue of an elephant.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's cool. And I didn't really see the elephant, but, you know, I just said what came to me. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about, is visualization and relaxing your mind. A lot of the thoughts we have aren't really our own anyway. We're sort of open doors, our minds are.
So they're constantly receiving, just like a radio receives stuff. If it's off, it's still capable of receiving. It just doesn't do anything because the antenna is always out in the open, you know, and being affected by waves.
Right.
Same thing with our mind, then, evidently.
Right. You know, you've heard writers and artists and musicians saying they channel their stuff. I think pretty much everyone is, to a certain extent, you know, open. Their minds are open to inspiration.
Interesting. So then when you go and you issue a command or express a desire, such as to see a past life.
Right. I remember the first time I did that. It was actually pretty scary. I shouted out, I want to see a past life. And suddenly, you know, I was at my house, and suddenly this scene came swooping towards me. It was like an enormous TV screen, hundreds of feet high. And it propelled me into it, and it surrounded me, and I was suddenly on the street at night in another time. It was like, it felt like the 50s or something. I was born in 1965, so I'm trying to track down the time as I'm in this scene, right? And I was a woman walking down the street, and I was going home from somewhere. I was wearing a thin dress, and I felt really vulnerable when this car pulled up on the street in front of me, and I couldn't see the car really, because all I could see was the headlights.
Mm-hmm.
But the car stopped, and a man came out, and I suddenly remembered what was going to happen, if that makes any sense.
Oh, wow.
And he was going to basically rape and murder me. And I remembered this happening, and I didn't want to go through it again, because it was real. I mean, this is all not like a dream. It's like you're really there. So I did what I always do when I want to get back to my body quick, which is I sort of shake my head
mm-hmm.
back and forth and open and close my eyes and wiggle my fingers and toes. And that'll bring you right back every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little scary, but it was very interesting. I've done that several times. Once I died in a shipwreck, once in the Holocaust. And I don't know if this is true or not. You know, it's just these are experiences that you pick up on when you give out this command.
Interesting. I had done a path life regression through hypnosis, though. And mine wasn't quite as intriguing as yours, because it wasn't, you know, a recreation or, you know, putting me back in. How can I explain it? When I was under hypnosis, and I was under very deep hypnosis, I guess I can be hypnotized in the blink of an eye, and I was very deep and very relaxed, and it was absolutely amazing. But the hypnotist, who by the way was my friend Kelly McLeod of EnchantedSoul.com, she was doing this past life regression on me, and everything came back. It didn't seem like I was... For me, it didn't work like where I was immersed in the scene. You know, like a dream or anything like that. I was still, you know, dark. I mean, I was still, like, just relaxed and calm and, you know, just like if you were to relax and veg out. But it came back as a memory. Like, you know how you... If you remember something like... You know, oh, I remember when we were at Disneyland and we bought, you know, the ice cream cone, and then it flopped off of the cone and, you know, got on my shoes or something, you know, so stupid like that. But, you know, that's not a real memory of mine, by the way. I've never been there. but it came back as a memory. And so she would ask these questions and I would remember the answers is how
wow.
it would work. And it turned out, I guess, I was a boy who, this was a long time ago, it would have been like, probably like prehistoric age or something like that, and it was like ancient. The people of the village would give me food, and although I was pretty self-sufficient, they would still give me some food and clothes. They would, you know, give me clothing and stuff like that in exchange for these stone tablets. They're round and they're shaped like dinner plates, only they're made of stone, so they're probably, you know, pretty heavy. But that's what I would do. That was my whole... I was very, very young. I didn't understand anything. And when I was under, I didn't understand. I remember not understanding, because she would ask things like, what year is it? I didn't understand what that meant. At
wow.
the time, so I couldn't remember what year it was. It made no sense to me. So, but I did remember what I did. She says, "Well, what do you do? Where are you?" And I was in the middle of a field. And what do you do? Well, I go around and I collect these stone discs and give them to the villagers, and they give me food and clothes. And I liked being out and about. I did not want to be with the villagers. I didn't want to live there. I didn't like them very much. I just wanted to be out and about collecting these things, and I'd get my clothes by, you know, exchanging them like that. Kind of pointless, although it does mean a lot, because I am a bit of a loner. And so that does sort of have bearing on my current life. So I was really glad for that. But it came back... The point is... I know I just wasted how much time, but the point is... It came back as a memory, not as an immersion into the scene, which
right.
is interesting.
Interesting.
Because yours, when you do it as a command when you're out of body, you said you actually are swooped into the scene, even though it was through this television set or, you know, however they needed, or they or you your subconscious needed to show it to you. You were swooped into the scene, and you were like from that perspective. My perspective in mine was that of a memory, instead of like actually being there. So
I think we're all in a state of profound amnesia right now, and otherwise we would remember all our past lives. We would be in a state of kind of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
We have to sort of connect ourselves. Once we become conscious in the dream state and in the astral state, then we can start to work on becoming conscious in the waking state, in which case we would have knowledge of the future and the past and our past lives and all of this telepathy. And,
is this... Why would we do this? Why do you explore? Why do you keep doing it? Like, if you've done it once... I've done things where, you know... And there's even a saying, I'll try anything once, right? You go out, you do this thing, and you say, okay, that was fun, that was neat. Now I have that under my belt. I'm going to go on and learn how to, you know, promote wrestling stars or whatever you want to do next. You know, why do you continue to do it?
Well, I love it. I love the feeling of flying and the freedom and just the whole experience, I think, is sort of really freeing and it's hard to explain. But once I think you have the experience, you're always drawn back to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of benefits to it. I mean, you can actually go and heal yourself of physical illness, and just going to see your deceased loved ones, that's amazing. I mean, that's the whole reason I did it, was to see my mother,
mm-hmm.
learn about life after death, and I eventually did get to see her. It was amazing. When I first saw her, she died when she was 49,
mm-hmm.
and when I saw her out of body, she looked like she was about 25, and just amazing. And it was an amazing reunion. We hugged, and she took me by the hand, and we flew to another dimension, which, you know, I'm not a religious guy, really, but I can only describe this place as being very much like heaven, because it was just really beautiful, and the air sparkled, and it was like a summer morning. We were in a green field, and there was a forest in the background, and green hills, and a stream. And it's just the most beautiful postcard scene you could imagine. We flew across this field and played in the river for a little while. And she took me by the hand and said, you know, I want to show you something else. And we went up into a higher dimension, I guess, because we went through this barrier. We flew upwards and flew through a barrier and ended up in this scene, which was all crystals, and like white crystals of all different sizes, and stretching out for what looked like hundreds of miles. And what was really weird is your vision is panoramic there. You can see all around you 360 degrees. And you can zoom in on far distant objects and examine them up close. And it was just amazing and just so pure.
Why weren't you sad? This has gone into quite a interview style thing, and normally we just do conversations, but I'm coming up with more questions. My own mother has not passed away, and I know that when she does pass away, now it's really, really horrible, actually. It puts me in a position where I'm a ghost hunter, right? And I've seen these things, and I've seen a ghost once, and so I know there's something afterwards. But when she passes away, I'm going to be a wreck. I can already tell everybody I won't be doing ghostly talk for like at least a month or more. I'm going to be a mess. I'm going to be locked into my, you know, my basement or my room or whatever, and I'm not going to come out. But I'm just going to be an absolute total mess for quite a while. And, you know, eventually I'll come around. I know that. But I've had, you know, other folks in my life pass away, and the profound sense of loss and of emptiness, and you know, everything that you get from, you know, and also it's a bit selfish too. You can't call that person anymore on the cell phone. You know, you can't send that person a gift, you know, because that person has moved on, and there's this emptiness, this void, it's just insane, and it hurts so very, very much, and
right.
I don't know what would happen to me, for example, if I then met my, you know, had my mother passed away, and if I had met my mother in while out of body. I don't know what would happen. I don't know if that would renew this or if it would make me more comfortable. How did it work for you?
Well, I was ecstatic. I mean, I was unbelievably ecstatic. it was just like I was seeing her again and she was alive. And I've since done it, you know, probably 100 times. And it's, I'm so convinced of life after death, it's just, it's hard for me to be sad. And, I mean, that time, that was the first time, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to leave, you know, after the experience. It was hard to say goodbye at the end of it.
Well,
but,
that's comforting, because I...
It fills that void, it really does. It completely fills that void you were talking about.
Oh, that is amazing. And
yeah,
that is fantastic.
And you can go and visit anyone who's deceased who you love. That's a really good way to go out of body. All you have to do is lay down at night and concentrate on them, and the experiences you've had with them, and the love you feel with them. And you sort of build up that love connection, and that will call them. And you tell yourself, I want to remember everything that happened to me tonight. I will go out of body. It's my right to go out of body. I will remember going out of body. And just affirmations alone and the desire is enough to work. Really. I mean, you don't even have to do all the techniques of relaxation and all of that. Just telling yourself you want to do it will work for a lot of people.
Amazing. Amazing. And comforting, and I... I don't know. That there's so much more on that that I'd want to talk about, but I also, though, want to talk about something else. If you go out of body, okay, because this is one of the things that Robert Monroe talks about.
Right.
He describes the different planes. And there was a plane that he described that absolutely terrifies me. Okay? And he says it's all, you know, it's all grays and blacks. And there's actually, I believe, if I'm remembering it correctly, and I'm probably remembering it correctly but not be able to put it into words, he believed that there was, right next to his bed, there was this, like, rip in the wall. And it
right.
was an entryway into this darker, black and gray, unpleasant realm. And he visited it, and it was just horrible. And did you ever run across that side of it, or is that just yet another place, and you can go from one to the other? I mean... How
right.
come he devotes time in his book to that realm or dimension?
Well, there are lower realms which are dark and dismal, and when, like, the murderers and the rapists and all the evil people addicted to, you know, crack or whatever die, this
mm-hmm.
is where they go.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like the hellish realm. And they have to, like I said, the astral body is the emotional body, so all of that stuff that they're into is sort of thrust back on them, and they're in their own hell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dark place to be, and I haven't gone there for whatever reason. I've just never felt the desire or whatever. I haven't had any unpleasant experiences, really. There was one time I was flying through, and you do go through these barriers, or sometimes I go pretty quickly to the higher realms because I'm not interested in the lower realms, but one time I was flying towards, you know, just flying upwards, and something grabbed my ankle. And I could feel these little hands. It felt like a little creature of some sort. I don't know. But I'd read about this with Robert Monroe, and it
mm-hmm.
didn't scare me. I just reached down and calmly pried the fingers loose one by one and pulled it off and kept going.
And someone else, I don't know if it was Sylvan Mundoon. Oh, maybe it was Sylvan Mundoon who did the experiment. Or Keith Harari. Talks about electrical lines getting tangled in electrical lines that are physically here on our plane, in our dimension, in our reality, really don't have any place in other dimensions or realities, but nevertheless, they're here and they're affecting the other realities, and he got, like, tangled in one.
I remember that. He was actually in his physical body, and he was electrocuted, it pulled him out of his body, and he remained in that state for a while, so it was really tortuous for him. But, you know, it's funny, because sometimes I'm out of body flying around the house and I see the telephone wires and I'm like, because they're not supposed to affect you when you're out of body.
Right.
So I avoided them for a long time and I'm finally like, well, I'm just going to go through them. And I did. And I usually feel nothing, but sometimes I'll feel a big zap and a bright flash of light, and it's a little unnerving and kind of scary. But
But
once you're out of body, you just tell yourself nothing will hurt you.
And it can do no damage, right? No damage.
It hasn't hurt me.
Okay. Right?
No, nothing can hurt you while you're out of body. You're totally safe. It's as safe as sleeping. There's no danger, I don't think, of possession or getting too far out or not being able to find your way back or anything like that.
Well, that is one of the big fears, and they talk about it in almost every book.
Especially the early ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're very fear-based, I think. But I'm convinced that we all do it every night, and it's just a matter of our awareness. And we all have spirit guides, too. And that's one, that's something that's really exciting when you get out of body, is you can try and find your spirit guides.
Have you run into yours?
Yeah, a couple of times. It's always really interesting. Sometimes they give you these tiny little riddles, or they're not very communicative all the time. Communicative. But it's really interesting. Like one time I popped out of my body and I shouted out, I want to see a higher advanced being. You know, a spiritually advanced being, someone who's enlightened. And this beautiful woman appeared outside of my balcony. And I jumped off my balcony, or actually she took me by the arm. And she said, keep your eyes open really forcefully to me. And this is in the out-of-body state. And she pulled me really fast upwards, just too fast for me. I closed my eyes for just a second. And I opened them right away, but she was already leaving. And she had deposited me in this field, this really bright, bright place. Just a normal field, though. And there was a man there. He was floating in a chair about a foot off the ground. And he was just looked like, I don't know, an old man, kind of like a monk almost, though. I think he was dressed normally. It's hard to remember. But he looked at me, and he just gave me this one message, which is just a weird riddle. He said, when you do something, do it absolutely. And I flew back into my body. Which, I know that sounds weird.
Wow.
But it's actually kind of interesting. I looked up the word absolutely as an adverb, and it means to do something completely, to do it positively, and to do it in kind of a without an expectation of outcome, or in a detached way, unattached, that was it. Which is good spiritual wisdom, I think, for any... I mean, if you read about the enlightened masters, they're always talking about detachment.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. So I thought it was interesting.
Wow. And have you ever run into anybody who's, like, jealous that you still have a body? Because that was one of the things that I think Robert Monroe had mentioned.
No, I haven't. I don't think I've ever run into anyone who's... Except, not jealous. My mom would be the only one who'd be aware that I was still alive.
Okay.
In a physical body. But otherwise, I haven't really met a lot of... I guess my spirit guides know.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't really been taken to a place where there's a lot of other dead people who are looking at me.
Right.
Like, oh,
right.
You're one of those.
You're just here on vacation real quick, and you'll be back. Wow. Okay. All right. Question interview time, I hope, is over. I was just... all those different things I wanted to get out, because they're things that I've read in many different books that I wanted some clarity on. So,
right. Yeah. I wish more people would try this. There's really no obstacles to it. I think the main reason most people don't do it is because they don't think that they can.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're skeptical. But really, it's very easy. It only took me like a few tries. And so, I started to feel the sensations actually on the first few tries. And after about the fourth or fifth try, zoom, I flew right out of my body.
And when you're out, what does it feel like? I mean, do you feel hot, cold? Do you feel, do you smell things? I know you see things because you've described things visually, as you would see them visually, but do you you obviously hear because you've talked.
Right.
But what sensations are there?
You have them all, actually. It took me a while to learn how to do it, because the first time I popped out, I would like float in the center of the room, and I had to sort of learn how to see by just... It's hard to describe. You just have to sort of do it. It's like learning how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
How to move. You move yourself with thought. And, yeah, I have smelled. I popped out of body, and I would, like, flew down to the ground, and I smelled the earth just to make sure that, you know, that sense works.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. and you can feel things. It's really neat walking through walls and stuff. You can actually feel it right through the center of your body. And I just recently walked through a brick wall with my eyes open, all out of body, and that was really crazy.
Wow.
Usually I just close my eyes. It's kind of scary, you know? But I kept my eyes open. You could see everything. It was amazing. Just redness is really all I saw. But it was still cool.
Is it like you're... Well, you don't have atoms. I guess that's the wrong word. But your component molecules of your astral self intermingle for a time with the component molecules of that wall or brick wall or anything? Or is it more an energy mixing?
It sort of depends how much... what your vibration is. I've had a really low vibration out of body, and I can't get through walls.
Oh, wow.
Or anything. But if you raise your vibration really high, you don't even feel them at all. And it's amazing. Sometimes, now when I pop out of body, I've lost all my hair right now. I'm like 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when I pop out of body, all my hair comes blowing back instantly. Whoosh. I just have really nice hair.
Wow. Is that something that you've wanted? You miss it, or is it just...
Well, no, it just happens.
Your self-image.
It really surprised me. It surprised me when I noticed it. And I started to... You know, once you get good at this, you examine your astral body a little bit, right? And so that's what I would do. And my wrinkles all fade away.
Wow.
And you can look at your hands and, you know, your feet and stuff, and they're all kind of translucent and glowy, and there are no blemishes. I was actually reading a book by Robert Bruce. He said if you stare at your body for a long time, your hands, they'll melt away, disappear. I'm like, no way. I've looked at my hands many times. So I tried it, though. Like you said, I stared at them for only about 30 seconds less even before they started to melt away. And so your body, your astral body, is kind of an illusion just like your physical body is. It's just a matrix of energy. And you, yourself, I guess, are just sort of like this spark of consciousness that has no real form or can move beyond form.
So it may be our own... That's interesting, because as we're talking about barriers, mental barriers, like, you know, the fear of not being able to return, or, you know, all those fears, perhaps your astral body just forms itself to what you would expect yourself to look like, or what you would want to, or what you would... Something in your conscious or subconscious is just like producing a body for you to look at while you're out there.
Yeah, it's weird. Once I was out of body and I looked down at my feet and I was wearing shoes that I don't have. I don't know where they came from or who. You know what I mean?
Wow.
I don't even own that pair of shoes. I've never seen them before in my life.
And you don't necessarily actually need shoes when you're out of body anyway.
No, but I'm almost always clothed.
But somehow it happens. What about experiments? Okay, this is interesting. A fellow in Ireland had said, what I would like to do is when you guys go on a ghost hunt, to schedule ghost hunt, and of course since then I've only gone on one, and I didn't have enough time to email him, he would have liked to have traveled to our location out of body. And then as we were, like, snapping photos, maybe we would get something anomalous because he was there, or his out-of-body astral body was there. And so what I'm wondering is, because, you know, we're ghost hunters, right? Hence ghostly talk, right?
Right.
And if we were out and about and we're doing an investigation, we're taking temperature readings, we're taking sound recordings, we're taking... video in both, you know, infrared video and, you know, that so that we can see at night. And we also take normal video. We take photos, let's say, hundreds and hundreds, sometimes thousands of photos on an investigation. And we're looking for anomalous things. And anomalous things are, you know, just anything out of the ordinary that we cannot explain that happen while we're doing this activity. And we're of course just absolutely convinced, whether it makes logic or not, that anything anomalous must be a ghost. Well, that may not be true, of course. It could be a passing energy field. It could be anything. Could it be people wandering around out of body?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that there are some out-of-body travelers who have been seen in their locations as apparitions. Robert Munro did that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in the past did that. There was one guy who actually was able to show up at a seance and go through a medium.
Wow.
I've never been able to do anything like that. You know, I go in front of people and I'll be waving at them and I'll try and pull on their hair and talk to them, and I've tried everything to get, you know, people's attention, but you're a ghost when you're out of body. So often when I pop out, I become obsessed with trying to, like, move objects.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't do it, because I know a couple of people have done that out of body. I haven't been able to do it.
So you think it's possible, it's just you haven't yet figured it out.
Right. Well, I'm learning recently. I think it's all about how you adjust your vibration.
Mm-hmm.
You can lower your vibration enough and still sort of have enough of your ethereal body.
How do you have control over vibrations when you're out? Do you have control? Like, can you raise and lower? Like, is it something that you just think of? Well, yeah, thought manifests reality. But is, you know, how does that work? Like, does it feel like anything? Or is it more like, how does it work?
Right. Well, I'm still in the beginning stages, so I don't really know. I gave the command once. I'm like, out of mind. I said, I want to raise my vibration. And I flew upwards about 20 feet. And
wow.
I don't know what that means.
is that it?
It wasn't exactly what I was expecting.
I wouldn't have been either.
But there are things you can do. It's all about controlling your thoughts. And I mean, if you focus on something that's really a high ideal, you know, compassion and love and God, and that will raise your vibration. Whereas if you focus on negative thoughts or earthly attachments, mm-hmm. that lowers them. So that's the basic method. But that's all I really know. I'm still really at the beginning stages of that.
Well, I'm glad you're sharing your experiences with everybody, because I'm at the point where you were before, you know, just interested in it, only had some brief little experiences with it, but exciting nevertheless. But now
you're there. You're definitely there. I mean, flown down a tunnel. I can't tell you. No, that tunnel that you described is just like the near-death
mm-hmm.
experiencers are describing.
Except for mine was yellow and brown. And it wasn't a tunnel. I don't remember a light at the end of it, but, of course, I was going to Brazil. because that's instantly what I had thought. But why was it yellow and brown? Why was it? There's, like, so many different questions. But it was definitely exactly a tunnel. I mean, it was a tunnel, a swirling tunnel, period. And it's what it was. And I never, the thing is, when I was doing that, and I had launched that from a lucid dream,
right.
Like you said, you didn't expect to be lifted 20 feet, right? I never expected, I guess I expected, what I expected to happen was the scene would dissolve and then reappear, and I would be, you know, amongst Brazilian trees or something. I don't know what I expected, but I did not expect a tunnel while flying. I might have even expected to fly there, right? But I didn't expect a tunnel at all. So, boom, I was scared and I came back. You know, I woke up physically.
Right. Out-of-body exploring is great for emotional control. Because when you're out-of-body, it's really easy to become emotional, and that will almost always send you back.
So if it's possible when you're out of body, or if you know you're out of body, you're in a lucid dream and you're like, okay, let's explore. It is possible to say, like, right away, okay, I'm just not going to be startled by any of these explorations, and then you won't be? Or do you really have, how would you rein in your emotions?
Practice, I guess. I mean, for me, I just kept telling myself nothing can hurt me. I'm not physical, so there's no way I can be hurt. And I'm doing this every night, and I just really wanted to do it. I don't know. I guess it's just practice.
How has it changed your life?
Oh,
like, your
amazing
everyday life?
Well, in a lot of ways. I think it's reduced my fear of death. Not completely erased it, because that's still scary. But it's also, I think, really opened me up psychically. Pretty much not a day goes by where I don't have some type of event like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's either, you know, I know who's going to call, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just some little precognition event, which I love. And learning about your past lives, I love that. It's just actually one of the most rewarding parts of my life. I love going to bed at night because I get to have these adventures. And it's not as often as I'd like. I'm really down to about like 3 a month right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty busy in the world. But, oh.
And that lowers your vibrations or something? I mean, does it not
right.
let you get out as much? Because it seems to me that you have all night, every night, well, that's another thing, Preston, another thing that I've experienced while reading all these books is that people, every single person practically, even the illustrious D. Scott Rogo himself, said, yeah, I did all these things, and since then I just haven't been able to do it again. You know, because why? Why did he stop? I mean, I don't know if he didn't make a conscious decision. I'm not doing that anymore. He just stopped doing it. Was he done? Was he just not needing it that much anymore? Or was he just busy? Or he needed to do the sleep thing where he, you know, learns from his self-conscious? Why does it slow down?
I don't know. I think it's really, you know, I can't speak for other people, but it's really difficult to devote a lot of time and effort. Because the only way I've really been able to be successful is sort of obsessing myself with the subject. I'll read all about it, and I
mm-hmm.
meditate for an hour before going to bed, and
mm-hmm.
just get myself really excited about it. And it takes a lot of, you know, mental effort. And, I don't know. I think it can be also scary for some people because it does change your life.
But evidently for the better, because everybody I've read on the subject says they're better for having done this.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the psychic stuff is so much fun. We were all measuring, you know, my dad had a battery tester
mm-hmm.
with two separate leads, and we were just testing the voltage in our hands. And for each person, you know, that was at this party. And they put the thing in my hands, and it just went like 3 times higher than anyone else.
Wow.
And cause you can do this hands-on healing type of stuff. And so they made me wash my hands and dry them off because I thought it was the sweat and all this. But no, each time it was the same reading.
Wow.
And Robert Monroe, he could actually like move compass needles and stuff like this with his hands, which I haven't been able to do. But as you progress with out-of-body travel, your physical body builds up sort of as electrical energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, I don't know, it improves you physically in a lot of ways. You can do healings.
Absolutely amazing. Did you ever do that kind of stuff, or just to yourself kind of thing?
Well, I tried it with a friend. I was giving her a shoulder massage, and I thought, well, I'm going to send her a blast of healing energy, because she's really psychic and into all this stuff. And she's actually had many out-of-body experiences, too. And so I just... what I did is basically just visualized energy coming through my hands, really strong, and she let out this loud scream and jumped off the bar stool and said, oh, my God, I just felt a blast of healing energy come from you.
Wow!
This is exactly what she said, and I was like, whoa, you're kidding!
Wow!
You could feel that. She could. It was amazing. So there is. I was kind of skeptical of hands-on healing and stuff like that, but I've been reading a little bit about it. And after, you know, like Robert Monroe, like I said, could move compass needles, and there's something to it. There's definitely something to it. A lot of near-death experiencers, they come back with all sorts of psychic abilities, and out-of-body exploring is just a controlled near-death experience.
Right. Because
exactly,
the same thing happens.
Right.
Because you're out of body for a while when you're near NDE, so same
it's
kinds of
thing. Great practice for the afterlife state. I mean, if you're able to do this out-of-body work, once you die, you'll be able to progress much more quickly than the average person because you already know all about the afterlife planes and you've done it.
Do you think it's possible to go out of body and converse with, even if it is ever so briefly, like some of the great people who've been around, like could you somehow get in touch with just any random person? Because you've got a love attachment with your mother, right? A personal bond. That could be something. But what about like Mother Teresa or Einstein or Thomas right. Jefferson or any of these, yeah. Luminaries.
If you're good at it, I called out for Ramtha once. I don't know if you know who he is.
Uh-oh. No, not offhand.
A channeler.
Okay.
But you can. Kurt Leland, he's got a book out called Otherwhere, and another book, and he went out of his body, and he was able to locate Emily Dickinson.
Wow.
So that was, I thought, really impressive. He's a poet, right? And he's really into mm-hmm. all of that stuff. So that was pretty cool.
That's pretty insane.
But I haven't seen Elvis or anything like that. not yet.
Well, there's also other folks who I'd be interested in. Patience Worth, for example. I had just talked about her
right.
the other night.
I don't know who she is.
She was, channeled through a Ouija board and wrote just immense amounts of, words. And, through her Ouija board channeler people. And
like seven novels, right?
Yeah, and same thing with Seth, who wrote through Jane Roberts.
Right.
Seth was originally conjured up through a Ouija board. Are they entities? Are they conglomerations of entities? Is because how can you write so much? of course you've got nothing. Well, I guess you've got other things to do, but I mean, time doesn't mean anything. So maybe you can write so much, but there's that kind of thing that would be fascinating to do.
Right. Jane Roberts said some of her books were already written on the astral plane, and Robert Moss, he's written about this sort of stuff, and he's been able to pull out large passages that are already written up there and translate them down here. And
wow.
There's all sorts of channeled writings. I think The Color Purple was supposedly channeled by Alice Walker.
Wow. That I did not know. I knew a lot of
it. It's not at all uncommon, I think, among writers and musicians and painters and all actors even. I think actors are often accessing their past lives when they're out there on the stage,
Oh, that very well could be. I mean, because they've got a thing to do here physically, but how do you call up that emotion?
Right, they're dissociating, and that's mm-hmm. what out-of-body experience really is. It's a profound state of dissociation.
Amazing.
I mean, that's what a Ouija board is. It's a form of dissociation. All of those things, anything like that, will open you up.
Do you think of the Ouija board as evil?
No, but I think it is dangerous for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of ghost hunting, as you know, and I don't know how many cases of poltergeists start with people using a Ouija board. But I think I've done it safely many times.
Mm-hmm.
If you just do an exercise of meditation before and afterwards, where you mm-hmm. clear out the house, and connect to a really high vibrational source. I think that's protected me, at least.
Well, I think
I haven't had any problems.
I think them marketing it as a game, for example, might have something to do with people who don't want to put that amount of energy into protecting themselves. So that could
right.
be part of the danger.
Well, the problem is when you operate a Ouija board, the first thing you contact is that lowest plane with
yep.
all the degraded people.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like when you're practicing, and that's got an exact parallel with out-of-body experience, because you were saying, first you're in a very realistic-looking world, and it's like, right here, and you've got to learn to do the vibrational stuff to get up to the higher levels. It's a learning process, and people don't want to devote that to what they consider, I guess, a game, a dangerous game. What about, because I know you also have written widely on UFOs and aliens, right?
Right.
Out-of-body aliens. Got
well,
any?
I've not really explored the UFO phenomena out-of-body. I just haven't really thought of it. It's hard to think when you're out-of-body, but I have a couple of times. I called out to see an alien because I wanted to see, what they look like.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly this alien ran by me, which wasn't your typical gray. And I don't even know if it was real or not, but it sure looked real. And it has sort of a face like a snout, weird eyes, and really hard to describe, sort of claws and arms and legs that didn't bend quite the right way. The arms were way too long. It's really actually scared me pretty bad. I flew away.
Mm-hmm.
and one time I did find myself inside a UFO.
Wow. Okay.
Out of body, and I was sort of out of it. It was really hard for me to maintain consciousness, but I looked down in the center of the object, and it was transparent, and it was sending down beams of light. And that's all I could really recall. But no, I haven't really explored that. But I do think that the ETs have command of the astral planes and are flying around them in their ships with no problem. And I know there's a couple of cases, too, where people have supposedly seen their dead relatives on board UFOs, which I have never run across a case personally like that. But I know Whitley Strieber has a couple of cases like that.
Mm-hmm. And you,
it's really bizarre.
And you've investigated UFOs for quite a while now, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
You haven't talked to anybody who said that that's what they had seen when they were abducted, right?
Right. But I've talked to people who've actually been out of body in a UFO,
mm-hmm.
or actually were physically taken in a UFO and went out of body inside the UFO.
Interesting.
Maybe because of the trauma or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the things that they do are, you know, reportedly pretty nasty.
Sometimes.
So, yeah, sometimes. But then there are the friendly ones. I mean, the healing ones, you know? So.
Right. Yeah, there's over 150 healing cases on record now, at least, so.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, what do you do book tours, or do you tour and do lectures, or aha, what's the life of Preston Dennett like then?
Well, it's always changing. You know, I keep just exploring different facets of the paranormal. I do a lot of speaking in radio and
mm-hmm.
TV whenever possible. But mostly I'm into just interviewing people firsthand about their experiences and trying to pursue the subject myself, you know, really having my own experiences with what, you know, whatever facet I'm studying. So I've got a couple more books coming out about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
One's called A Supernatural California, actually, and that's going to be about a Bigfoot and lake monsters and things like that, as well as UFOs and ghosts.
Well, you know, your interests sound about as widely varied as mine, because out-of-body experiences really piques my interests, right? Edgar Cayce piques my interest as well, though you haven't mentioned him. But that you were familiar with Patience Worth and Seth and those and Jane Roberts and those stories, that was interesting. Also, Bigfoot.
Right.
I mean, that's just so far removed from everything we've been talking about, yet that's another one of my interests. And I even, Will and I had planned to go down to like Oklahoma or something and look for a Bigfoot, but we never got there. Closest Bigfoot event I ever went on was when I was down in Texas. I went to Bragg Road looking for to see if a Bigfoot would walk by me, but he didn't. So
yeah, my friends told me, you know, don't talk about Bigfoot. That's going to damage your credibility. And I actually avoided the subject for a while. But I started interviewing people who claimed they saw it. What am I going to do? You know, I couldn't turn them away.
Too many people. I just, my own personal thing is too many people have claimed to see it. It's the same thing with UFOs. I've never seen a UFO, but so many people have said, including Will, has said that they've seen UFOs. How can you just discredit them out of hand like that, just because you weren't physically there with them at the time? You know, so many people. Same thing with the Bigfoot phenomena, and I think that there's got to be something there, and I've not seen them myself, but I'm not going to say that they don't exist just because I didn't see it.
Well, seeing is believing. You know, I grew up skeptical of all this stuff and never saw any of it. Now I've seen ghosts, I've seen UFOs, and, you know, this lady up near my house, I'm here in Southern California, and she
mm-hmm.
lives in Acton out in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
She claimed to be having Bigfoot encounters.
Wow.
And so I'm like, wow, you know, she said that it would leave footprints around her house, and it climbed up in a tree and broke a branch. It left animal carcasses, and they could smell it at times. And one time it left this giant boulder on the top of their house. They had to get, like, a couple of men to pull it off. It was, you know, just a giant rock, a huge boulder.
Wow.
And she said she actually knew when it was around. She had this telepathic link.
Mm-hmm.
And this is apparently pretty common in Bigfoot
mm-hmm.
accounts.
I've heard that before.
So she actually took me out. She took my sister-in-law out to see it, and they heard it, they said,
mm-hmm.
running around through the brush. And I was kind of skeptical. I'm like, no, there's no way. But she's like, no, come out and see. And so we went out there. This is in the Angeles Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled out, and we had no sooner pulled up where she said this Bigfoot was. And we were looking down, and it was dark, it was late at night, and we were looking down in this deserted valley. And from the center of this valley comes this loud, long, low growl. And we looked at each other, like, did you hear that? Because it was kind of off in the distance. And we were very quiet, and it growled again for about 5 or 10 seconds long. And it sounded unlike any other growl I've ever heard.
Well,
but that's it? And I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
As interested in Bigfoot as I am, I don't know if I would be the best Bigfoot hunter on the planet. Because I would probably hear that and be back in my car. So I'm a little bit skittish of those physical things, you know. Like, non-physical things like ghosts, I can pretty much handle them. But the physical things, I don't know. I would be scared. We're out of time, Preston.
Oh.
Yeah, this is, you know, the 9 o'clock hour Eastern time hits, and we have to go off the air. So,
okay.
Unfortunately, that's the end of this one. But with your many and varied projects, I do hope that you come on Ghostly Talk and talk about them as they unravel.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Excellent. So, Preston Dennett, author of Out of Body Exploring, I hope, Out of Body Exploring, and visit his website, www.prestondennett.com. Stay on the line for 1 second while
All right.
I close out the show, and so I'll get with you in 1 sec. But I do want to say to everybody who's listening, thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed yourself. I hope that you have learned something, and I certainly hope you go and get Preston Dennett's book, because, it's up my alley. So it's one of my very, very, very favorite interests is Out of Body, and Preston has so kindly written that to share his experience with his experiences with Out of Body Exploring. Might as well give it a try. Why not? You guys, 9 o'clock. 9 gongs. Gotta go. We will be back next Sunday right here on Pioneer Radio. So stay tuned next Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time for more Ghostly Talk. For now, have a great week. Thanks for listening.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
The media, become the media.